If you're looking to save some money on your wireless plan, take a look at Visible Wireless. They're a transparent wireless carrier with nothing to hide. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, where you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. One line wireless, just $25 a month with taxes and fees included. That's unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Switch now at Visible.com. You shouldn't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. Like Visible, the wireless company making wireless visible.
Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
This is Steve Downes, the voice of Master Chief, Sierra 117, and you're listening to Podcast Unlocked, the world's number one Xbox podcast. Now, finish this fight. Master Chief, out.
There you are. Welcome to Podcast Unlocked. You've just watched the Xbox Developer Direct, the 2024 edition. I'm Ryan McCaffrey, joined by my panelists. Let's dive right in. Not even time for introductions. That's how exciting that was. And that's how pumped I am. We have to start with Indiana Jones. I know Visions of Mana was the secret game that secretly parachuted in there, but the star of that show was Indiana Jones. I'm gonna take host privilege and just start by saying, as one of the resident olds of this panel, there was so much of the Chronicles of Riddick Escape from Butcher Bay DNA in there that you could see. That just made me so happy because that's one of the greatest original Xbox games ever. It's first person. Khalif Adams, spawn on me. First word goes to you here. What did you think of Indiana Jones? And by the way, everybody, we have plenty of time. So everybody settle in if you're watching. We're going to talk through all this stuff. Ka, the floor is yours.
Mind blown. I was excited and ready for this to drop and get all the goodies that we could from the visuals and everything. And they are just nailing that vibe that we were hoping that they would be able to pull in. All of those things from the films that we remembered and kind of love and have that nostalgia for. Feels like they're really knocking on the door for that. You know, the music and the score really came through. And I think that that's a big part of the indie experience and the indie fandom. And man, that first person combat. Damn, that looks good. It looks really, really fantastic. So very excited for what we got a chance to see.
Stella, you were talking as we were just watching it together. You were like, called it from the first teaser. Give me your immediate reactions.
Yeah, because like everyone, I remember seeing people in chat and, you know, being like, oh, well, Machine Games, you know, I don't know, because this is an Indiana game. We want to see him, so it's probably going to be third person. And I was like, well, if they're making an Indiana game, they probably want to make sure that you feel like the character. And first person is a really good way to do that. So I said from the beginning, I think it's going to be first person. So I'm glad that they are going that route. Right now, I don't know how far along this trailer was. I feel like it looks good. I'm very excited for the puzzles. And I'm glad it's not just another like Uncharted-like game, because those games kind of fall into a specific formula. But I want to see more of the combat, like dynamic combat through one level, because we got a lot of like jump cuts. So I want to know what the combat flow is going to look like.
Destin, your thoughts. There was a lot to see there.
I wasn't sure about Indiana Jones going in to the Dev Direct. I was absolutely blown away. I really, really like what they're doing here. I love the first person. What we saw of combat looks really fun. I can't get over how well they integrated the whip into all of the different types of mechanics. Being able to grab somebody by the leg or just whip somebody and then pull them towards you for a punch. It's very indie. Everything about it just makes me remember why I love those original movies. And to see a game take the movies and make this, which just hits all the right notes from the villain to the puzzles to the combat, has me tremendously excited. More than I ever thought I would be for an Indiana Jones video game. I'm all in.
Yeah, the thought I had with the first person thing is, number one, it's not unexpected. I mean, like Stella was saying, there were good reasons to go first person with this, but not just sort of centering you in the character, but also because it's a good way to differentiate from Tomb Raider and from Uncharted, right? I mean, those are comparisons that people are naturally going to make, because there hasn't been an Indiana Jones video game outside of Lego Indiana Jones. Like, there hasn't been a sort of AAA indie game since, I think, maybe 2003. I think Destin is what we had looked up with Indiana Jones and the Emperor's Tomb. I think
this
was
one?
The name of it. That's the one. Yes.
I just played it for B-roll. But yeah, this game actually is pretty good. Indiana Jones and the Emperor's Tomb. I played it a little bit just to remind myself of what the old game is played like. And it made me a believer in the fact that indie can be a great video game. Machine Games is doing a whole new thing from this take, though. And I just left with a very, very positive impression about where the game is going to evolve to, and really, really stoked.
Yeah. The id Tech engine, which is what we don't know 100% that's what this is using, but that's what this studio's used for years with Wolfenstein. That is almost certainly the tech that's going on here. Production value-wise, Khalif, pretty high production values, clearly.
1,000%. I mean, everything, every visual that we saw just jumped off the screen, right? It felt exactly like you remembered indie movies feeling, which is great, from the, you know, from the villains to the kind of that sepia tone, that kind of, you know, feeling like you're in these far off places in the desert or in some far off land. They just nailed all of those pieces. And again, you know, we talked a little bit behind the scenes, them snagging Harrison Ford's likeness in this, and yeah, really nailing that, and also the voice actor, whomever that may be, doing the voice voice capture for this, or the voice performance for this, it all feels exactly like you would hope for a game like this that wants to pay homage to one of the biggest and kind of best known adventure movies of all time. So I'm very excited to see where all of those pieces kind of land, and see who the other folks are in that conversation, and of course, Tony Todd is in this, so that automatically just like magically just made me super excited for that. So hyped as heck for this.
So Stella, I want to come back to you to get your thoughts and everybody else's too. But something that I think was maybe a bit of an unanswered question from this, and maybe I'm just looking too far into it. Just tell me if you think I am. But Gina, we were introduced to near the end. She's a reporter. She's kind of along this adventure with Indy. They're helping each other out. They specifically refer to her as a protagonist. Do you think that you're going to play as her for one level, for significant amounts of time? What was your takeaway from that?
You know what? It would be really cool if there were some temple puzzles that you have to work together, but you can't really see each other, so you can talk through walls, yeah, right? Kind of like, well, I guess Portal was a co-op game, but if it was sort of like, you know, you could talk to them and maybe switch perspectives, that would be really cool. But I feel like we're going to get maybe one or two levels where she is going to have to get him out of, you know, a bit of trouble where he's gotten himself trapped or something. Right. But I think that for some of these temples, we may get one of those partner moments where he has to call out, hey, hit this lever now or whatever. And that might be really cool. So yeah, I love the idea of having two protagonists, but maybe I feel like we're definitely going to be focusing on Indiana here, but yeah.
Yeah. That's probably where I'm landing with it too, is maybe either one or just the occasional check in with her where you're, like I said, maybe you're riding a motorcycle and you've got to save him or something. Or I think the puzzle example you gave was pretty solid as well, but maybe almost kind of like the Mary Jane stuff from Spider-Man on PlayStation, where it's kind of a neat little change of pace for the game, for the campaign as you're going through it. I mean, well, Destin, speaking of Spider-Man, I mean, This seems awesome enough, and it's this well-known big property. Is it too early to say that this Indiana Jones could be sort of Xbox's Spider-Man, if you will?
In terms of exclusivity, yes, I definitely think, and I know you're using a licensed IP there to make the correlation.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be their answer to Uncharted. And if they get to continue to make games like this, this is great because it's not just like a straight up Uncharted clone. It's really unique in how they're presenting combat, how they're integrating puzzles into it. They did say that a lot of the puzzles are going to be optional. So there's going to be even, if you're into puzzles, you can go do all these side things where you can unlock more secrets in each level, or you can just keep on playing through the game and only impact or only encounter those main puzzles. But to your point, Ryan, I do agree. I think this is going to be a huge win for Xbox in terms of a licensed IP game.
So I did a very informal Twitter poll for every game featured throughout the stream. As soon as it was done on the stream, I put up a little poll with the same four choices. Loved it, seemed pretty good, it looked okay, and I didn't like what I saw. So we'll check in on every game for this. For Indiana Jones and the Great Circle, which is indeed the name, which was dug out by a sleuthy internet user prior to this that I think we'd written up on IGN. I will say that Indiana Jones, perhaps unsurprisingly rather, had the highest satisfaction rate of any of the four, any of the five. So of 2,000 votes and still rising here, but over 2,000 votes, two-thirds of the respondents on my little mini Twitter poll, 66.4% said loved it, 21% said seemed pretty good, just 8% said it looked okay, and 4.2% saying I didn't like what I saw. So this was quite an overwhelmingly positive viewing that everybody just took in, and I certainly am right on board with it. I had high expectations for this, and as soon as they confirmed that it was first person, I was like already over the moon, because I've talked on, if you're a regular listener or viewer of Unlocked, you know that I have a soft spot for first person games in my heart. It's always been my favorite genre. I like when first person games aren't just shooters, when they try some different stuff, which is part of the reason why I think The Chronicles of Riddick, Escape from Butcher Bay is one of the probably five, definitely 10 greatest original Xbox games ever. If you've never played it, it's probably backwards compatible. I don't have that definitively in
front of
me. It's
not.
It's not. So there was, I know there was a 360 like sort of remaster, upgraded visual version, but Destin, it's not backwards compatible?
It's not. To capture the B-roll that hopefully Red has ready, I had to go back to get out the 360 and capture gameplay of the 360 disc. But that game holds up really, really well. It was easy to pick up and start playing again. And it was one of those first games that took a licensed IP and did something really, really cool with it.
Yep.
It takes place, and we're talking about Riddick at the moment, it takes place like before he gets his eye shine, and you go through the whole story of how he got that and how he escapes this prison. And I like how they're sort of using the same formula for Indy here. They are taking a story between Raiders and Last Crusade and telling us about it, just like they did with Chronicles of Riddick. Riddick opens up, you know, you've been captured by Hoxie, who is in the Pitch Black movie, and he takes you to to the Slammer. And yeah, this is the 360 game that you're looking at right now if you're watching along with us. And believe it or not, it still plays pretty well. I was surprised how easy it was to pick up and start playing again, but to be fair, I played through it. Yeah, definitely showing its age. Definitely showing its age, that's
well,
for sure.
In almost 20 years ago, 2004, mm-hmm. I think, was the original Xbox release of this. Maybe 03. Anyway, almost 20 years ago, it was stunning on the original Xbox. It was an original Xbox exclusive. And if you're watching or listening to this going, well, wait a minute, why are you talking about Riddick, the Escape from Butcher Bay? That was Starbreeze. Well, Machine Games, I do apologize. That's the like core bit of information I'm leaving out. So let me fix that. Machine Games, who of course has done the Wolfenstein games and done them so well, they were started by the core team that did Riddick at Starbreeze and then left and founded Machine Games. That's why I'm drawing that direct parallel. And the fact that indie, you know, they were talking about how it's gonna mix in, you know, you can do melee combat, gunplay, and stealth. Like, that's all stuff that they did in Riddick, and they did it exceptionally well.
If Ray can bring up the gameplay that I provided him, all cut up real nice, you can see like how they integrated the stealth mechanics and really just own that character. And the reason I'm so excited about Indy is because it looks like they've managed to do the same thing. This is the old Indy. This is an exclusive footage.
Well, it's still good to take a look at Emperor's Tomb here, because this is what a AAA Indiana mm-hmm. Jones game looked like exactly 20 years ago. That game came out in 2003. It was done by, again, a very talented developer, The Collective. And mm-hmm. for fellow olds, might remember that The Collective kind of put themselves on the map at the time. They did an awesome licensed game of their own first. That they did a Buffy the Vampire Slayer game that was really good for PS2 and for original Xbox. And then they did Indiana Jones and the Emperor's Tomb there. But yeah, hopefully Red is digging up that Riddick footage that Destin had prepped, because there are more parallels that can be drawn there. And it is, like, I would say, well, I guess since you can't play it on Xbox, it's not backwards compatible. If you've got even a reasonable gaming PC, nothing top of the line, just go buy it on Steam. I'm sure it's probably quite cheap at this point. And as Destin was saying, it's pretty easy to pick up and play even all these years later, which speaks to how good the design is. Destin, you want to talk a little bit more about Riddick here?
Yeah, so Riddick, just again, all first person. There were like story elements where you had to befriend certain characters, and then he's Riddick, so he betrays everybody. And you were really limited on your ammunition, so it wasn't just you go in guns blazing or anything, right? You had to figure out how to hide enemies, how to utilize the tools at your disposal, how to utilize the darkness to your advantage. And it was really, really smart how they put everything together. And this scene in particular was actually shown during their teasers for it. And at the time, it was really impressive. You have to remember, this was an original Xbox game where you could like do all these sort of takedown moves and you could counter people in first person mode.
Dynamic shadows, dragging the bodies into the darkness. All that stuff was new.
Yeah. So this was all new tech. And, you know, fast forward 20 years or so, we have another game mixing third person, like we're seeing right now, with first person combat. And I'm really, really excited about the potential.
Yeah, in fact, I would say, at least my memory tells me, that Riddick was probably 25% at the most gunplay, and the rest of it was first-person melee stuff, either with, you know, just your fists and choking guys out, or with a shiv. And Indiana Jones seems like it might be the same way. Like, clearly the whip is going to be your primary melee weapon, other than just the, we saw some fisticuffs in that gameplay demonstration as well. But I suspect gunplay is not going to be a huge part of Indiana Jones here, because, you know, Indy's not, you know, this isn't going to be a first person shooter. I mean, I think that much is clear already.
I was a little surprised to see him pull out a pistol in one of those shots on the quick jump cut away from it. I was like, oh, we don't want to see Indy murder anyone today? All right, fine. I was kind of hoping to, but sure. All right. Also, real quick, from Max, he made a list of some callbacks and Easter eggs. So there was the Wilhelm scream when pulling the Nazi off the ledge. Mm-hmm. Dr. Marcus Brody will appear. And the spider running up Indy's arm when reaching into the hole was reminiscent of Temple of Doom. So there are some little love letters to indie fans there. I'm going to admit, I am going to have to go back and rewatch them, because it has been so long since I've seen the movies.
Yeah. And they nailed the other part of that I thought they really nailed is the humor. even those small pieces. I think that's a big part of the indie series, and that character is getting those moments where you balance between this kind of very serious moment, you being in peril, and then also having those kind of winks and nods. And it feels like they've also kind of captured that in this, and the kind of that ethos of who Indy is and as a character. That's going to be really fun. And also, like, some of the stealthy pieces, I wanted to see a little bit more of that. But excited to see that you're going to have some of those moments where you're, you know, watching where some of the enemies are pathing and kind of figure out where they're going to go, and doing that from this first person perspective is going to be really fun to be able to kind of see. It makes me think about all the callbacks that Stella talked about, and what else we'll see. That was a big part of the series for sure.
I feel like for the most part, you're going to be in these really close encounters and going to need to utilize stealth. I don't think you're ever really going to go in guns blazing. Like, he shoots one bullet in this whole thing. To be fair, he gets on a turret later. But I think when there's like a clear advantage, like a turret, they'll utilize that. But I like the idea of him having to utilize his basic tools as opposed to like a machine gun, you know?
Yeah. And I was, as you were talking, I was racking my brain trying to think, like, have we ever really had a first person game where you use a whip a lot? And the only thing that came to mind, if I'm missing one, please call it out, Bulletstorm with the leash.
That
was the only game that came to mind. Darksiders 3 maybe too. I'm being a little voice in my ear is, but was that first person though? Darksiders 3? No, it wasn't first person. So that doesn't count, but it's this, just everything about this reveal made me happy. I came in with very high expectations. I mean, I guess before we talk about the other super awesome piece of this, which is that it's coming out this year, and I do want to sort of discuss that and what it means for this year of Xbox. I kind of want to just go around. I'll start with Khalif. What were your expectations for Indy coming in, just knowing the pedigree of the studio and whatever you thought this game was going to be? And did this reveal meet them, exceed them, not meet them? How you feeling, Khalif?
Yeah, I think it met all of those expectations. My only worry for this game was around, is this IP old enough that the generation that we are now in will just have forgotten it or not have any, it won't have any relevancy to it. And I think now getting a chance to see what the gameplay looks like, what the visuals look like, all of those pieces, I think that's how you bridge that gap, where even if you didn't have that kind of, you know, fandom or that feeling of, you know, what does this mean to you, and what does Indy mean to you as a character, just looking at it from a game perspective, it looks like a AAA, very highly polished video game that you would want to check out no matter who you might be. And I think they've probably figured out that gap in between that relevancy and what we know in that fandom. So very, very excited for that. And I think they absolutely hit every expectation that I had. So super excited for that.
How about you, Stella? Where were you coming in, and where are you coming out of this?
Honestly, just because I have no real attachment to this franchise, I kind of didn't have an expectation, because we also weren't sure if it was going to be first person, third person. So I really went in with no expectations, which is honestly the best way to do that, so you don't put, you know, pressure on them. So coming out of this, I want to see more gameplay. I want to see Indy go through a level in particular. Maybe less is more in terms of game reveals, right? We don't want to see games show everything off, just like those movie trailers that show the entire plot. But I do want a little bit more in terms of the narrative, what exactly is going on here, and the push for him to be exploring here, right? And I think you did say that this was going to take place between two of the movies, which is really cool, but yeah, I am coming out of this with a few more questions, and I want to know how this is really going to look like when it comes out at the end of the year. And for me, story is always really big. So story and combat.
Destin, how about you? Where were you coming in? How are you feeling now?
I came in with very low expectations, not thinking that I would particularly like Indiana Jones, and it is by far my favorite thing from the Developer Direct. I am tremendously excited to see more of this game. And one thing we didn't talk about are the locations that he's going to be visiting.
Yes.
Right away, something is stolen, and he has to go to Rome. And then he goes to a jungle area. I'm not even going to try and pronounce the location that he goes to. He goes to the Egypt pyramids, and he goes to the Himalayan mountains. So you got a green location, a sandy location, a snow location, and a city location just in this trailer alone. So he's going to be going.
There was a Zeppelin in there, too. I'm sure we're going to be getting to fight on one of those.
Yeah, so not only is it going to be visually diverse, which is just amazing, but its integration of puzzles is also really, really exciting to me. It made me think of, I've had Legacy of Kain on the brain right away, which mixes these little combat sections with puzzle sections, and I haven't really played a game like that in a long time. So to see Indy, just everything about the tone of this, I'm just like, this is exactly how I would want an indie game to be. It's perfect for the character, and it's perfect for those combat encounters, and very, very stoked afterwards.
Yeah, I mean, I came in with pretty high expectations given everything that this studio has achieved already, and I would say I'm even on a higher cloud 9. It might be a cloud 10 after this. I could not have asked for a better gameplay reveal than that. I love how many how much of the soul of Riddick is in this, and in addition to, you know, the technological achievements going on too. Like, this is a beautiful looking game. I think it's super significant. What one of you mentioned it earlier. I think it's quite significant that they licensed Harrison Ford's likeness for this. Like, so, you know, they didn't just get like a kind of not quite Harrison Ford look. Like, it's him. It's not his voice, which was to be expected given that Mr. Ford is north of 80 years old and this is set when he's much younger. But the sound alike sounds great, and I'm loving this. So Indiana Jones, two thumbs up from all of us here. Let's talk about the game that I think we were probably most excited for after Indy coming into this, and that is Avowed. So Avowed, I'll tee up all of you by first mentioning, again, my informal Twitter poll. So let's see here. Thoughts on what you saw of Avowed? Just about 40% of people said they loved it. 33%, so pretty close, saying, seemed pretty good. 18.6%, it looked okay. 8.5% saying, I didn't like what I saw. So not quite the same ultra satisfaction level as Indy, but still overall pretty darn positive. And Destin, I'll start with you for Avowed, because this is a game that you've been talking about. You talked that you were a little kind of maybe unpleasantly surprised at the art direction change from the gameplay reveal we got at the showcase last year relative to the sort of CG first-person tone piece that we got at the actual announcement of this back in 2020. So now that you've seen some gameplay, how you feeling about Avowed?
I think gameplay looks a lot better than that original gameplay teaser that they showed. They did a better job of giving us an impression of how things are going to play out. They also focused in on story and how the story is going to be integrated and how there will be more moral nuance and consequences to your actions throughout your gameplay experience. But the one thing that got me was the combat. I was very pleasantly surprised to see an improvement on the combat, because in that initial trailer, there was a lot of stuff just running straight at you and then you kill it, right? This time you're like, they're showing the shield dash, they're showing counters, and they're showing a lot of really, really interesting, cool stuff that you're going to be able to do in this game. And being able to switch on the fly to different styles of combat, like from magic to melee, to sword and board, I like that a lot. I like that you're gonna be able to do that. Fall 2024, still, they said rich, weird, and wonderful was the goal. I think they achieved that, but it's still a wait and see for me. I'm excited, but I'm waiting to see how well they nail that story. And I'm totally going to kill that guy that they they teased at the beginning. He's gone. Sorry, buddy.
Before I throw to Destin, to Stella and Khalif, I just want to real quick you know, we're doing this live on the fly. We were just watching this. Like, we're not having time. We can't, like, take in any like, information that's coming in after this. And so our producer just was in my ear telling me that Troy Baker is voicing Indiana Jones. So kudos to Troy for a fantastic Harrison Ford impression. That is two thumbs up. He's playing someone besides Troy Baker in a game this time, which is nice to see. This week's Podcast Unlocked is brought to you by NordVPN. Hey, if you're watching a lot of sports like me and you hate blackouts, NordVPN is a great way to go. You can use NordVPN, a virtual private network, to watch live sporting events, TV shows, films that aren't available in your region by switching your virtual location to a country that is showing that event. No more blackouts. It's also good for plenty of other stuff like protecting your private data, your bank details, your passwords, your online identity. You can protect your data while you're traveling and using public Wi-Fi. NordVPN protects you wherever you are in the world. NordVPN threat protection also protects you from viruses, malware, and phishing sites. NordVPN is also the fastest VPN in the world. No buffering or lagging while you're streaming, and it will stop your ISP bandwidth throttling. NordVPN is the price of a cup of coffee a month, so that is a super affordable, great way to go. To get the best discount off of your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/unlocked without the E. That's nordvpn.com/unlocked. And that'll give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. And best of all, there's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. NordVPN.com/unlocked without the E.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it. Or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back to Avowed. Khalif, your thoughts on this one?
I am not voiced by Troy Baker, but
you probably could be, though. He's that good.
He's that good. It looks great. I think one of the things I came away with is, you know, ditto on everything that Destin said. I think in the combat, the one thing I'm a little bit worried about is it does look a little stiff when you're doing the melee parts of the combat. I would love to have seen a little bit more kind of reaction from some of the enemies when you hit them with your sword or when you hit them with the melee weapon, because I think that just adds to that layer of what you see in that first person mode and that first person perspective. But I think what really came through was the dedication to environments in a way that I think they nail every time with the team from Obsidian. I think they continue to make these really expansive worlds that you want to be in, that you want to kind of, you know, engage with and you want to explore. And how does that kind of reflect the ways that those different biomes and those different kind of spaces that you'll be in, how do those kind of really play that environmental storytelling up? And how does that really bring to the forefront, you know, what your character is going to be? How do you decide to play that character? What are those kind of tertiary layers of the experience going to wind up being? And yeah, I'm excited for what they're going to pull together for this. I think a lot of folks are going to be, you know, excited about the potential of what it means to kind of role play this way, in this space. And that's always going to be super fun.
Stella, your thoughts on Avowed?
Yeah, I think the environments look gorgeous. It makes me miss Outer Worlds, and I want Outer Worlds 2 already, which I'm so sad we didn't get a look at today, which is fine, I guess. I'll wait. But yeah, I think the combat is the thing that I'm getting stuck on. I don't mind going through a game just for the story. Like, if there's a good narrative, I'm into it. But the combat does look a little bit stiff. Like Ha said, we talked about this during the show when we were watching. And it's interesting because even the wand and the swordplay looked a little bit similar. But yeah, there was something about, I was mentioning it, I think it's the FOV or something that makes it seem a little bit off. Maybe because I play on 100 FOV or something like that. But it's the way the arms are positioned. It almost looks like a character is just very stiff and like 90 degree angles, you know, right? So I think that's something that's throwing it off. But the voice acting was really good. And I was very surprised by how well the conversation seemed to flow. So I'm very interested to see the different pathings that you can choose, which is very nice. But I feel like that should come standard with any role-playing game, right? You should always have freedom of choice with character. You should always be able to approach different scenarios with, you know, your personality, with whatever you want to play with. So I'm really interested in that. I want to see how far that'll go. I want to know how many endings there are, what quest lines you can mess up. And yeah, I'm very interested in this. I think from the beginning of when they showed the teaser to the first trailer, my expectations have kind of gone up for this game. So
nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure where I sit with Avowed right now. I liked what we saw today, but I'm definitely it kind of looked like a Skyrim total conversion to me. And I say that I'm not saying that as a criticism or a compliment necessarily. It's just kind of what it reminded me of, and the combat that you all just mentioned is really kind of where it comes down to. I would agree very much that lack of responsiveness from the creatures, there's sort of no, you know, animations when they've been hit, is like, I don't know if that still works for me in 2024, whereas it did in 2011 when Skyrim came out. Is it the end of the world? Absolutely not. I mean, again, you know, you all covered it. Obsidian, we're going to get a great story. We're going to get some really cool quest options and character interactions. And as Khalif was saying, the worlds, the environments in this are absolutely gorgeous. And that's, to me, a first-person RPG. If you're delivering fantastical, beautiful environments in that first-person role-playing game, like, you've got me. Like, I'm in. I'm totally good. I'm gonna have a great time. So yeah, I'm kind of curious how this will actually like kind of feel to sit down and play with, you know, versus just watching gameplay. But yeah, super solid and fall 2024 for this one, and just later in 2024 for Indie, which, if I were to take an educated guess, I would probably guess that. That means they're not quite ready to narrow in on Indie yet. Like, they're not quite sure if they're going to need maybe a couple more months of polish. Like, maybe they're aiming for September, but it could slip to November. So we'll see on Indie. But we know we've got Avowed in the fall to look forward to. So it's, again, we're going to be, I mean, we can talk more at the end, but right now we're looking at May for Hellblade 2, which we're going to talk about next. And then towards the end of the year, Avowed and Indiana Jones. So already it is January 18th as we record this. We already have like two exclusives set to go for fall 2024, in addition to one in the spring with Hellblade 2. In fact, let's just go right into Hellblade 2 now, because we are on the clock a little bit here. We've got about 17 to 20 minutes left in this live episode. So, Hellblade 2. This is a game we've seen quite a bit. Most recently at the Game Awards when we got a new gameplay trailer. Stella, let me go to you first on this one. We did get a release date. Did anything you saw today from Hellblade up your interest level? Did it take it down at all? Or did you just want the release date? Like, what was your reaction to the Hellblade portion of the developer direct today?
Yeah, so just like you, Ryan, I haven't played the first game yet, but I totally plan to. But No, my excitement has kind of stayed the same for this just because I know the quality that they deliver, right? Like, we know that they can deliver what they say they can. So for me, I'm not super worried about this game. I think it looks absolutely brutal, and I love that. I am all for any type of like grimy, gruesome game that comes out that really has your character struggling, right? I love that. I love stories where your character doesn't suffer from main character syndrome. I love that you're just another person, right? You're in this world where there are always going to be things that are more menaces because they're bigger than you. And I really like that. I also want to point out that when I was talking about what we might see at the developer direct for this game, I was totally right. Again, with the background that we got on the psychology of this, focusing on the psychosis. And I absolutely love getting behind the scenes footage of, you know, the performers going around the mic and doing the voices all around for the surround sound. And I think that's really cool. So I have not played Hellblade, so I can't speak to the story of the first one and how it's going to continue into this one, but hopefully I can. Right now I'm working through a backlog of games. So, you know, slowly get into it.
Yeah. To your point about liking the fact that she's vulnerable and human and not just like a superhero. One of the developers said during the presentation is, they want the player to feel like they always just scrape through the battle. And
yeah,
I like that.
I would say that came through pretty clearly on this. Khalif, how about you? Where'd you land with Hellblade after this?
I just need the game at this point. Everything about this game just screams, I want it. And I think massive shout out again to the Xbox team for producing all of these kind of mini vid docs in these developer directs. I think they really do a great job of not only showcasing the game, but the teams behind them in such a really profound way. And I think you do get a really good glimpse of all the work it takes to make a game like Hellblade 2 really come together. I'm a big fan of everything that Three Lateral has done in terms of the performance capture space and Epic, what they've been doing with their technology. And I think this game is the one game that you continue to get a chance to see how far we've come from a technology standpoint. And I think it really does have that feather in the cap for Xbox to be able to say, this game is pushing the boundaries of what we usually have seen technology-wise. And this is the thing that's going to be on our console, you know, day and date, whenever it winds up dropping. So they continue to impress with this, and I just need it now at this point.
Well said. Yeah. Sorry, Stella, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to point out, I see on our Slack that we've been talking about this, and Senua's Saga Hellblade 2 will be digitals only, sold at $49.99. Yeah, that's incredible. Yeah, that's awesome.
I wonder if that speaks to the...
Go ahead, Khalif.
No, I was just going to say, I wonder if that speaks to what the developer talked about this being a shorter, kind of more tight experience. Yeah. And I wonder if that's the pricing kind of model for that. So, yeah.
They said lengthwise it'll be similar to the first game. The response to it being digital only, I think, has been widely negative from the community. But honestly, I feel like that's the direction we're going. Unfortunate for those who prefer physical media, but I mean, I download most of my stuff these days. So the price point seems great. $49.99 is awesome. And if it's the same length as the original, I thought the original was a perfect length. I don't need every game to be 100 hours long.
Yeah.
You know?
Here.
Yeah. So sometimes just telling an amazing story, and they go into it further on Xbox Wire, how they really wanted to focus on crafting like the story, the narrative that they wanted to tell. I think that's great.
Yeah. It's news to me that you're telling me about the lack of a physical release. And I'm of the opinion that that's pretty unacceptable for a major first party game. Like, it's one thing if one of your smaller downloadable games is digital only. I mean, we've been doing that since the 360 with Xbox Live Arcade. But for Hellblade 2, the first game officially ever announced for the Xbox Series consoles that's been in development for a while, that's probably, from the looks of it so far, probably going to be the best looking Xbox game ever. Once it, you know, how long it holds that belt, will remain to be seen. But this is a stunning looking Unreal Engine 5 game with super high production value. For there to not be a physical release, I'm with the community 100% on that's just bad for it's a bad look. It's bad for game preservation. That's tough. Unfortunate bad news to kind of put a little dark cloud over what otherwise is a top shelf looking incredible video game that I can't say it any better than Khalif is just like, get that game in my hands right now. Like I'm ready to go. May 21st. So that is coming up very soon. I mean, that's just over 4 months away for Hellblade 2. So
it does. Ryan, sorry to interrupt. It does make me wonder if it gives any more credibility to the FTC leak document where they talked about delightfully all digital in the future. Mm. If this is their first game that is going to go digital only, are we going to see more of that in coming titles? I hope not.
That's a fair point, Destin. I think it's an astute observation. And I mean, the fact of the matter is there are still millions of Xbox Series X's out there that have an optical drive, and there are people that either have a preference for a physical disc, or their bandwidth cap on their ISP is problematic, or their download speed isn't great. So yeah, that's tough. That is tough news to swallow on what is otherwise just an absolutely top shelf, stunning looking video game that seems like it's going to be awesome. Like there's nothing about this. You know, we got to play it and see how the story is and see how the combat is, but everything about this game is looking just A-list right now. We got 10 minutes left. Let's talk a little bit about the surprise game, Visions of Mana. I will once again pull up my informal little Twitter poll here. Oh, by the way, I don't think I said for Hellblade 2, that one had the second highest positive response to these informal polls that I did. 58% of people that voted in that one said they loved it. Another 25% said seemed pretty good. Only 12% said it looked okay. 4.8% I didn't like what I saw. So, over three quarters of poll respondents were super positive on Hellblade 2, and I'm certainly right there with them. Visions of Mana was on this little mini poll of mine, 34%. So one third of people went with seemed pretty good, 26% saying they loved it, 28% it looked okay, 12% I didn't like what I saw. So a little more middle of the road on this one. Stella, I'll go to you first. We're kind of all talking about the art style specifically when it comes to Visions of Mana. What'd you think of it?
I think it's cute. I have not played any games in this franchise, but I think it looks really cute. I mean, you can ride the little Yorkshire Terrier looking animal, which is really cute. I've not really been into games like this before, but I think it looks really great. And I think players who are a fan of the franchise will be really happy. It looks really great. Combat looks very snappy. And the gameplay that we saw looked really clean and crisp here. I mean, the art style really works really well with the shading and the way the combat flows. And all the little creatures are so cute. Like that turtle is wearing a helmet. And I genuinely don't think I could play this game because I can't beat up these cute little creatures. They're really cute. And I don't think I could play it because I refuse to level up or progress the game by killing any of those little creatures. So, yeah.
Khalif Adams, Visions of Mana.
I mean, I was really just, transfixed with Ishii-san's jacket. And look, the best trench coat in game dev far, just knocked it out of the park in terms of presentation. I'm with Stella on terms of like not really having had a lot of time with this series and in this franchise at all. I mean, it was interesting to just see how many games they rifled off that are in the Mana series, and I was like, damn, there's a lot of Mana. There's so much Mana in this Mana. But it looks really pretty. I think this is going to be one of those games that, for those folks who are already kind of in tune with this series and have been a big part of it or have had history with it, they're going to really be hyped for this. But it's going to be one of those things that I'd have to kind of just like get hands on and play around with and see, and then kind of do the work to go back and see why people are so excited for this franchise and why people care so much. But it looks really gorgeous. It looks really pretty. And shout out to Ishii-san for looking so dope on the stream.
Popping the collar too.
Yeah.
He had it all going on. Destin, Visions of Mana, what'd you think?
I was a little surprised to see a game that's multi-platform put into the developer direct where we're focusing on Xbox exclusives. Personally, Vincent Zamana is coming to PlayStation 5, PlayStation 4, Xbox, of course, and basically everything. So I was a little surprised to see it there. And for people that are excited for games with this art style and this sort of vision, I'm really glad that Xbox has that offering for them. I remember when they were trying to get like Blue Dragon off the ground back in the 360 era, and it really feels like having their presence during this showcase shows, hey, look, we're really serious about Japanese developers collaborating with us. And I think that was the purpose of it. Look, we're BFFs with Square. Here's Vision Zamana. And this is part of the continued bridge building between Xbox and Square Enix that will hopefully result in Final Fantasy VII finally coming to the Xbox platform. Right after Final Fantasy XIV starts its open beta, basically February, I believe, is what they said. So
yeah, I think you've summed it up pretty well. I'm in total agreement. I think this was a relationship play, right? Like they are 100%. Saying to Square, like, we really value you. We want you on our platform. Look, we are going to put you in our developer direct as the, you know, hidden Easter egg surprise guest. And I do think, just to be clear, before I say what I'm about to say, I think this game looks stunning. Like, I love this art style, like how it's almost kind of a cartoon, like an anime come to life. Like, it, not kind of one-to-one, but just that sort of very colorful vibe to it, which I love. I think if this hadn't just been unveiled at the Game Awards, if Xbox had been able to reveal this game, even with it being multi-platform, I think this would have hit a lot harder for people. But given that we had just seen it, it was kind of like, oh, okay. Like, it was nice to see it included, but I don't think there was really a lot of surprise and delight, despite the fact that it was a surprise entry in this presentation. Still nice to see it, don't get me wrong. Happy that it's there, but and like you said, Destin, if putting it in there helps get more Square Enix games onto the Xbox platform, particularly in a day and date manner as this game is going to be released, then sure, I'm all for it, no problem. Let's do it. Closing thoughts, your thoughts on the developer direct overall. Maybe if you want to give it a grade, go for it. Khalif, I'll give you the first word here.
I give it an A. It was a fantastic showcase. I think they did exactly what they would hope to do with one of these kinds of showings. And I think they really gave the Xbox fandom and fan base a really good look at this upcoming year and what's going to be dropping.
Stella?
I would need more time to think about a grade. But I think they did what they showed us what they said they were going to show us, right? No surprises. They described what they were going to do. It's a developer direct, and yeah, they delivered it. And I think they were able to, tide everyone's expectations over with the different games that they were looking forward to. Obviously, we got more in-depth gameplay looks at Indie, the first real look, really, and then Senua's Next Journey. And Ara really went into depth on their development as well. So yeah, we got exactly what they said they would give us.
Destin?
They showed a little bit of everything for all the different genres, really. So from a business perspective, I'll give it an A. And Indie was a huge hit for me, so that game definitely gets an A. But from a Destin perspective, like, I'm only hype about some of the games, so B for Destin. But in terms of what they're trying to do, I get what they're going for.
Yeah, I'm an A as well, and that is mostly indie. Like, I'm not gonna lie. Like, but Hellblade, I got what I wanted, which was that release date.
Mm-hmm.
I knew going in that Ara wasn't really my jam, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. Avowed looked solid. I guess if I were to say anything, I wouldn't say it disappointed me. It just didn't. I wanted to be more impressed than I wanted. It looked good. It just didn't. It wasn't like, whoa, that's Avowed, cool. So I'm not quite there where I was hoping to be with Avowed yet, but we got plenty of time. But yeah, the indie just like over-indexed big time for me. Oh, yeah. That in that. And I think they knew it. I think Microsoft knew it. There's a reason it was last. I mean, I think we all would have predicted that it would be the last thing shown in this, and it was. But I think they knew that Indy was freaking awesome, and it was. And they gave it the most amount of time, and they showed, you know, a decent bit of it, and that Indiana Jones 100% delivered. I think that's the common sentiment out there. That's certainly how I feel. So this is now two developer directs, each of the last two Januaries. Hopefully this is now going to be a regular thing. I mean, with so many studios in the portfolio now, particularly when you roll in Activision Blizzard, and along with Bethesda, there's every reason to believe that Microsoft will have enough to keep doing these and not have them feel forced every January. So hopefully this is the second in what is now going to be a tradition. And I say, bravo, Microsoft. You did good today. Xbox fans, a lot to like. Good stuff. Thank you all for watching. Check us out every week on Podcast Unlocked. We are IGN's weekly Xbox show. You can find us on YouTube at youtube.com/IGN Games or on any of your favorite podcast services. Thanks for joining us live this week, and we'll see you next time.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.